E2, The Matrix of Immortality, Code of Divine Laws. Number 1A.
The subject of this week's work is The Matrix of Being. And this class builds on preceding classes of various kinds. Whatever those classes were, they must incorporate first a knowledge of the seven synonymous terms. Second, they must incorporate a knowledge of the four sides of the holy city, namely the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And also the third category of being, namely a certain knowledge of the four levels of science. I say that because only on the ground of these three requisites, I think, it is possible to follow this whole class. The subject is matrix. And Mrs. Eddy uses only once that term matrix in the textbook, where she says that mortality cannot be made the matrix of immortality. And it seems to be a bit of a gamble, or whatever you may call it, to give a whole week's work just on a term that Mrs. Eddy uses only once. But that term has become very important. And you know also that other terms that Mrs. Eddy uses only once or twice in her textbook have, in the course of the spiritual development of the idea, become very important. Like the term numerals of infinity, compared with the 7 days of creation, or the term calculus, which we have seen is just a term indicating that whole category of the four sides of the city. And so we have to be aware that though Mrs. Eddy does not use the term explicitly, that in this term lies a great method of understanding. The matrix is, as we see it during this week, a terrific yet simple way of understanding a very complex subject. The term matrix would have remained practically unnoticed if Mr. Dorley, in the 40s of this century, had not been thinking along certain lines that were very fundamental and categorical, namely, when he was thinking along the lines of the seven synonymous terms combined with that second category of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And in thinking along those two categories, as we'll see later, so don't be worried if you don't quite understand what I say at this moment. So thinking along those two categories, he began to see some interrelationships which are fundamental to being. The interrelationship of those two categories. And in seeing that relationship, he began to formulate in his mind a layout that he once then presented to the whole class. It was in Bristol, and when he presented that interrelationship, for which he didn't have any term or name, then someone, a student of his who is a great mathematician, came up to him and said, "You know, what you present here is what in mathematics is called a matrix." And from that time on, we used to talk about the matrix, John Dorley's matrix. Now, it shows that, therefore, and this is very important to my mind, that what is called today the matrix is not something that has been premeditated as a matrix, but that it came into being in a very natural, spiritual way. And only afterwards it has been defined through a term that is used in mathematics. It shows that the idea that was moving in John Dorley's thought was a natural idea that it was inspirational, but also scientific. And therefore it was not something that he wanted to find out. This is a great difference. Either something evolves without your seeking for it, and then afterwards you give it a name, or the other way around, which is usually humanly conceived. If John Dorley would have said, in mathematics, they have a new method of representing a complex subject in a simple way, which they call matrix. So I'm going to make a matrix in Christian Science too. Then he would have gone out from a preconceived concept and from a premeditated aspect, and that would not have been revelation. But we know from the history of the idea, which I'm going to present to you very slowly, that this matrix came into being in a revelatory way. When he had stated this matrix and printed it in his book, and other people were talking about that matrix, and when it was also printed on a little card, and the card went right out into the field to his students, to the Christian Science field, everybody somehow was a bit bewildered about that chart called a matrix. And most people heard for the first time the term matrix as applied to Christian Science. And even then, when they got familiar with that term and learned that the term existed at all, they were quite bewildered about the meaning of it. And I think in most cases, there was even a certain horror of that matrix. And actually, going around to many countries, as I have done over the last 30 years, I have seldom found anybody who had a workable concept of that matrix. Most people just learned it by heart and thought that by learning it by heart, they would have found out something more important and interesting, so to say, a higher standard of understanding. But actually, all that they did was to memorize it and use it in an ignorant way. I would say that I seldom found anybody who would give a treatment using the matrix, which shows that the matrix had not really become warm and round and practical, so that it was a help in giving a treatment. Now, the horror one felt in most places about that matrix is something that I would like to wipe out entirely this week. Because a matrix is something so simple, so warm, so natural. And it is something that everyone that sits here can understand very easily. So no one should approach this subject of this week with any sense that it is difficult because one doesn't understand it right now already. You know, things that are simple are usually not easy to understand just because they may not have been introduced in an easy way. So my intention is to introduce matrix and matrix work so slowly and so gently that each one will find that matrix is the most natural thing on earth. And having done this class already twice in this country on the West Coast and seeing the result of it, I can really say that everybody went away and felt a matrix is the easiest thing in the world. But more than that, they felt that with a matrix, one really can have a very simple overall view of the most complex subject. And this is actually the purpose of approaching any subject in any science, namely, to make a complex situation simple and represent it in a simple way. But naturally, in order to do that, one has to use other methods than what we have been used to in our education. Most who sit here in this class have never had matrices in school. They were never taught in matrices. Today it is different. Today, even in the fourth and fifth grade, I think, they begin to introduce the matrix concept. And so the new generation that comes along will have no difficulty whatever to understand the representation of a subject in matrix form, and therefore will have no difficulty whatever in approaching the subject of the infinite one also in matrix form. Actually, one hopes that what one can see is that in the future it will be very easy to represent the whole teaching of the fundamental categories of Christian Science in a very simple way, a more direct way, a greater shortcut than perhaps we have been able to use up to now. Matrix work, as I said, is not something that applies just to Christian Science, but naturally matrix works came from the mathematical field. Mathematics has used matrices since the middle of the last century. More or less, it had been forgotten, and it was only when Heisenberg was discovering something more about the atomic structure, and he had to find a new way in mathematics in order to express his new findings, that he himself worked out again matrix calculation. And only then he found out that matrix calculation had been discovered nearly 70 years before him. Again, a sign that sometimes an idea is being seen, but the time is not ripe yet. And so it lies dormant until the time is ripe. From that time on, after Heisenberg, the matrix concept has entered into every field of science, not only in mathematics, not only in physics, but in every field. And today it is inconceivable in any field and in any scientific approach to any problem not to use the matrix method. Even in sociology, where you have to find out the relationship of people to people and people to subordinates and so on, it is all done by the method of matrix. Every firm, every business that tries to run efficiently and scientifically will use matrix methods in order to have a better overall view of their firm and the production and everything that happens within that firm. So let's see that matrix is not something that is only used in scientific fields, but something that has become an absolutely integral part, a method that is integral to every modern way of thinking in every field. And therefore, if we take a whole week to introduce matrix method for the science of being, we just do something, namely, not to be so far behind the world as we are. Mrs. Eddy hoped that Christian Scientists and their thinking and their consciousness would always be ahead of the time. But actually, we have seen over the last 30 years that Christian Scientists are usually far behind the common standard of thinking in the world. And we jolly well have to pull up our socks and get ready to be a bit more advanced in our thinking than is usually the case. And not just stick to the old language and lingo of Christian Science and the old method in dealing with the subject of Christian Science, but that we make use of what the world is seeing as a new method. So I hope that with the introduction of matrix work into our subject, we really are freeing ourselves of being underdeveloped religionists, and we will be a bit more progressive and therefore be able to tackle various aspects of the science of being or the whole structure of the science of being in a more modern way, in the way of using the method of matrix. And so I would like to begin by introducing the term matrix first. And you will have to bear with me over perhaps 2 or 3 hours to introduce the meaning of matrix without reference yet to Christian Science, so that we first have a clear concept of what the term matrix means and what the term matrix implies. Before we can use that term and understand what the term implies for the subject of Christian Science. So, here I will start. And as I say, I will try to introduce it so that everybody can understand it. Naturally, if younger people were in the class, younger people who had already had some kind of knowledge of matrix, they would just sit here and yawn for about 3 hours and say, well, why does it tell us all that old stuff? We have that in the 4th and 5th grade, you see. But as this is not the case, and as you didn't have, or most of you did not have in school, matrix calculation, matrix method, I think I do a favor in polishing up a little bit the level of education. So here I start. And I first start with something that has nothing to do with matrix yet, but which is, so to say, the step just before matrix. And because the greater part in this class are women, I will first take an example that is perhaps nearer to the woman's thought. And then afterwards, for those men who are sitting here and are in business and have to think creative in their field, I will give another example that is perhaps more adapted to the men's thought. I start with that pre-matrix step, namely with a so-called checking list, a checklist, I think you say a checklist. This is the first point, just a checklist. Now, what is a checklist? And I speak perhaps more to the women here who have to look after the household and have to see that everything is in the household that is needed for the household, for cooking, and keep the house going. And so let's say that as you go along during the day and do your work at home, you find out that actually this and that article is missing and that you have to buy it the next day. And so you may make, I don't know if you do it or not, you may make a list of goods or items that you have to buy when you go to town. Now, some may not do that. They just keep it in mind, and they may have a very good memory. But in most cases, they will come home and say, oh, I forgot this and that and the other. Well, if that is the case, one already begins to see the value of what is being offered, even in the pre-matrix state. Namely, the value of having first a checklist where you write down, perhaps on your calendar or wherever it is, perhaps you have in the kitchen somewhere a calendar, that's how it is at home in Switzerland, a calendar, and on that calendar a blank sheet of paper, and there you may write down what is needed to buy. So let's say we make such a checklist. Now, in order that we all have a common basis to work with, I would like you to write this checklist down on a separate sheet of paper. So take a separate sheet and you leave about the first three or four lines on the top open, and then you write on the left, as far left as you can, those items which may appear on such a checklist. And I will dictate this checklist to you, and you will write them vertically, one under the other. So please concentrate and write it down as quickly as you can, so we don't lose too much time. And I will write it down just as the items may come into the mind. So write down now on that list, and please concentrate: milk, ham, pencil, soap, vegetables, sugar, butter, bread, fruit, scotch tape, eggs, sausage, toothbrush, soup. So you have this checklist, and with this you may now go to town. Now, if you have only this one category, namely the category of articles or goods, if you only have that one category and you go to town and let's say, so as to make it more practical, let's say you are not in the vicinity of a supermarket where you can buy everything under the same roof, but say you live in a village or a little town where you still have many different shops for all these things, then if you are very well organized mentally, you may go first to a shop and then go right through your checklist and see what you can buy in this shop. Then, when you have bought everything that you can buy in this shop, you go to shop 2 and you buy there what you can buy in shop 2, and then to shop 3 and so on. And perhaps when you come to the 4th shop, you may perhaps realize that you forgot something in shop 1 because your checklist may have been too big and you may have overlooked it, and you have to go right back again to shop 1, which may be right on the other side of the village. This is naturally not economical. Now, in order to counteract this, you can say to yourself, I should organize this activity. Naturally, you must keep in mind that we just take a simple example. But say, you had quite a big household, or even a little hotel, or so, and you would need about 150 items. You see, then you realize that the organization of these checklists needs an additional category. Namely, you know that this category of goods actually can only be bought in another category, in a category of different shops. You have different shops like the general store or the dairy or the butcher or the stationery or the chemist. Or I think you say the drugstore, the chemist, and the market. You have a whole category of shops where you buy the first category, that of goods, don't you? It's as simple as that. So suddenly you find out that this category of goods demands, so to say, a knowledge of another category, namely the category of stores. Do you see that? Therefore, see how easy it is. Therefore, you could introduce into the first category a second category, namely the category of the stores. And you would introduce that category there on the top of your checklist. go back to your checklist.